great to be saved. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 4. Tonight I want to talk to you about the gift that God gives to our church. Anybody want to take a guess at what that gift could be? It's not me, by the way. Anybody at all? Brother Geis. Hey, there you go. That's right. It's our pastor. Tonight's message title is The Gift of Our Pastor to the Church. And we find that in Ephesians chapter number 4. I want you to start with me in verse number 7 as I read down. Starting at verse 7, it says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up unto high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And that descended is the same also that ascended up far above the heavens, that he might fill all things." So what did he give us when he ascended up into heaven? Verse number 11, it says that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? Well, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him, unto all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, unto the edifying of itself in love. So let's look at that gift. Look back again at verse number 11. And he gave some, down to the end, pastors and teachers. So let's talk about the gift of the pastor right here from this passage. You know, it's really easy for us to take things for granted, things that we may use every day or we're acquainted with on a routine type basis. You know, I just got a new car back in January. It's new to me. It's a used vehicle. But compared to my other car, it's a great vehicle. You know, my other car was a 2004 Kia Sedona, and it was a lemon. I put more money into it than what I purchased it for. And that it seemed like it was always causing problems. Finally, the engine just was done. You know, stick a fork in it. It was over. And so then I went on this long process of trying to find a car, which I absolutely hate. But I finally did my research through cars.com, and I got me a new vehicle from Kansas City. And I drove it here tonight. In fact, Brother Lauren Stewart said, "Oh, did you get a new car?" Apparently, he hasn't fellowshiped with me enough to know that I got a car back in January. Adam and Barbara, they just posted on Facebook, they got a new car. And if you ask them, or if you ask me and Jacinda, if you ask us our experience, we are thankful for our new vehicle because the other one was a mess. You know, we had problems, and you know, unless your car breaks down or you get into a wreck and the car is maybe in the shop for a time, you kind of remember the times that it worked, and you're like, man, I wish I had my car because it gets me to work every day, takes the kids to school, helps you get your groceries, and then what other activities you need the vehicle for. You can't get on with American life without a vehicle today, even here in Kansas. So when I got a new vehicle, I take care of it every day. And it is a shame that I got a black car because I live on Eisenhower Road where it's very dusty. So I have to clean it a lot. But I do. I'm vacuuming it all the time. I have a list of standards for my children that they can't eat in the car. At least at the beginning, I said, don't eat in the car. Apparently that rule stopped after week number 2. I mean, there's crumbs everywhere. I was just vacuuming the car yesterday afternoon, and I got the vacuum, and I was removing seats. You know, I wanted all those crumbs out of there. Goldfish. There was something sticky already. It was putty, and the sun had already melted it on the carpet of the floor, and I was mad because it's a new car. You know, how could you do that to me, kids? I don't want it dirty. And I'm already putting a lot of miles on because, you know, in the camp ministry, we travel a lot. But I want to take care of it because I don't want, I know what it's like to not have a good car. You know, it's so amazing that the gifts that God gives us, it's easy to take it for granted. And the Bible describes the pastor is a gift to us. It's a gift that we receive for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints. It's for us. So let's talk about the gift. First off, notice with me, what is the gift? First off, it is a gift of grace. We're told in verse number 7, it's described that God gives you grace. And this grace manifested in the gift of the office of a pastor means that it's undeserved for us, but it's used as a gift so that we can function as believers in the church that God's building up. And it's something that the word grace is an unmerited favor, but in this passage, it's a benefit for us to have a pastor. Some of you read your Bible and you have a hard time understanding certain parts of the scripture. But praise the Lord, sometimes you come here on Sunday or you come on a Bible study on Wednesday and the Bible is expounded and explained to you and you go, oh, that's what it meant. Hey, it's a benefit. It's a gracious thing that God gave us a pastor, not only for the work of the word as we see here, but God gave us a gift of grace. Number two, it's a gift from Christ himself. According to the measure of the gift of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. He is the ultimate shepherd. The pastor is the under-shepherd. But God gave us the under-shepherd. It's come straight from the Lord. If you understand that gift of the pastor, you don't want to take it for granted. Know that God gave us our pastor. He called him here. I think this is his 12th year here. And God called him here from Tennessee, I think it was Memphis area, specifically for us here in Ottawa, Kansas. Number three, it's a gift given to his church, like I described. So what's the responsibility of the pastor? Well, that's right what we find here in verse number 12. Number one, it's to help us grow. God calls us to be growing every day so that we come up to the measure and stature of Jesus Christ. He wants you to keep growing. And the gift of the pastor is to help us grow. That's what it means for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting means it means to completely furnish or equip. So the gift of the office of a pastor to us is so that we can be furnished completely the way God wants us to be. Like the Lord Jesus, the perfecting of the saints. So God gives us to help us grow. He also gives us the responsibility of the pastor is to oversee the administration of the ministry. That's the phrase for the work of the ministry. Now, if you think about it, what does a pastor do? Some of you think he comes and he preaches on Sunday, collects his money during the offering, spends it all week, and comes back Sunday to do it again. Many people have that idea of a pastor. Some people think, oh man, that must be so easy to get up for 30 minutes to 45 minutes, or however long, to preach from the Bible and get paid. That looks so easy until you're asked to do it. And then your knees start to buckle because you have to explain the Bible. Here's a point of reference or perspective for you. A pastor preaches anywhere from 3 to 4 times a week. Now, they say on an average, it takes about anywhere 5 to 8 hours to prepare for one sermon. That's a good work day. And that's just from some references. Some people would say just to prepare for Sunday is a good 40, 50 hours a week to be ready for just that 1 hour. And a pastor, our pastor, preaches anywhere from 3 to 4 times weekly. There's also visiting, which we do it on Tuesdays. And our scheduled times are Tuesday afternoons, Saturday mornings. But then there's visitation throughout the week. If there's someone that's in need of a visit at a hospital or maybe some type of specialized visit that's called upon at the office. There's soul winning. There's also planning. And so a pastor meets with his staff. He meets with the deacons, the trustees, and they plan out the year and the calendar and the agenda. There's planning. There's education. Our church runs a full-time academy. There's also Sunday school and the curriculum that comes with that. There's the care and the attention that's given to all the believers in every age group for all stages of life. You know, here at our church, right at the bottom, we have little kids group, Sunday school, patch club, and youth group, and what are all the age groups for the kids? Is it just patch club? Children's church? Are you alive tonight? There's always a heckler. All right, so you have that. Then you have married couples. I think Pastor oversees that as a Sunday school class. You get the singles group. You have the elderly group. Is it the golden agers or what is it? The Pathfinders. Golden agers. That must have been another church. The Pathfinders. All right, so there's all stages of life and attention that comes with that. There's the building program. There's the facility needs. Now, of course, there's many people involved in the work of the ministry. It doesn't all just go to the pastor, but he ultimately oversees it all. There's a lot of work to the work of the ministry. Number three, the responsibility of pastor is to build up the church. That's where we get the word edifying. That means to build up. Does it mean to just build up to, you know, a mega church? No, it's talking about the body to build us up and edifying us, but then to also go make disciples. You know, Jesus' command was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So God wants us to go make disciples and to bring people in and to see our community get saved. So we got to build up the church. That's the gift of the pastor. That's his responsibility. So what's the goal that God wants when if he gives us a pastor? What does he want to see us achieve? Well, I see number one is that he wants us to be unified in what we believe. Look at verse number 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Unity, that means when pastor comes and preaches, he wants us to all be on the same page right here from the Bible. And that we all are in agreement with what the Bible says. As he explains the word of God, we say amen. Now, I know our church isn't an amen-y type crowd, but let's just give it a practice. Ready? The Bible is good. Amen. Jesus is a Savior. Amen. Pastor's a great guy. Amen. You got a great camp director. Amen. No laughing. You know, we're supposed to affirm, we're supposed to affirm truth. It's okay to say amen because we want to come in the unity of the faith, which is our doctrine and what we believe. We ought to live what we say we believe. We ought to be on the same page. The gift of a pastor is to help us get to that goal. So we ought to be unified in what we believe. God also has the goal that we're unified in our relationship to the Lord, that we're glorifying Him, and that we're walking in the Spirit, and that we're fellowshipping with Him, that Jesus is Lord of our life because He's Lord of our church. That goes from the top down to the individual. And if we as individuals aren't in close fellowship with the Lord, then it's going to affect the church. If our pastor's not walking in the Spirit, it's going to affect us down here. Man, praise the Lord, we have a pastor that loves the Lord. Number three, there's a goal that we become a mature, seasoned group of believers reflecting the complete standard of Christ. That's what he says, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So as a church, God wants us to be reflecting the Lord Jesus. We ought to be living with a consciousness that we reflect Jesus. This is His body. He's the head of it. Have you ever seen a head that doesn't go on the right body? Our body ought to reflect the Lord Jesus. That's the goal in the gift of a pastor. Now, let me tell you now, thirdly, about the results. What would result if we follow this plan that God's given to us? Well, the first thing I see is that we will be grounded in what we believe. In verse number 14, you know, here's the result. Here's the outcome of a church that's unified in the faith, in the Spirit, reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, of the sleight of men, and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Hey, when you're grounded in what you believe, you have the discernment from right and wrong. You have the ability to turn off the noise of anything that's contrary to what we know is right. So the more you know the Bible, the more you ought to be able to discern what is false. You know, when it comes to FBI agents and the U.S. Department of Treasury, when it comes to identifying false currency, counterfeit currency, you know how they teach them to do it? They give them the real thing. If they know the real thing, then anything that doesn't match up with that, they'll be able to pick it up and say, well, that's counterfeit. So we don't need to necessarily study all the false religions out there to know what's right. You just need to know the Bible. The other day I was in the park. I took the kids to go on the swings and all the stuff over there at Kansas Park. And there was a Seventh-day Adventist from in town. And he came up to me and he says, are you a preacher? I said, yes. He said, well, I either guessed that or you were some radio announcer. I said, well, I'm a camp director. I told him what I did. He said, well, I have some questions for you. So he wanted to ask questions concerning the differences of the dietary laws of what Seventh-day Adventists believe. And I honestly am a little unsure of everything that they believe. I know a little bit here and there. Now, as I started to engage in him, I just went straight to, well, what do you believe about the gospel? Because then we could kind of go from there. And so we established some things about what does the Bible say? And then as he wanted to ask questions that would be matters of argumentation or debate when it came to dietary laws, I would say, well, what does the Bible say when the Lord showed the various animals to Peter? What do you do with that? And so he goes, oh, that makes me think about some things. And so all I had to do was divert to the Bible. And every time we went to the Bible, he goes, well, that's kind of interesting. I said, yes, it is. And bacon's good. I told him, I said, I like bacon. I think you like it too. Hey, all you got to know is the Word of God. And hey, when you're following this plan and we have a pastor that preaches the truth, then we're going to be a people grounded in truth. And we'll be able to know right from wrong. Another result that I see from this is that we will be able to speak truth lovingly as we grow more and more to be like Christ. That's what he says in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. Have you ever had someone try to speak the truth to you out of love? You typically don't receive it, do you? You know, speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him all things. You see, I think truth and love are two sides of the same coin. You can't have one without the other when it comes to God. And God wants you to grow more and more in the truth and in his love. Another result is that we will be a healthy church, building up in every part. A healthy church is where the attention in all the areas are intact. You know, if there's one part of your body, if it's not working properly, the whole thing's messed up. You know, I have bad sinuses right up through here. I had to have sinus surgery 2 years ago. Before that, I'd get a sinus infection once a month, and it was so painful. And I'd have to be on antibiotics and this prednisone, and oh, it was miserable. But just this right here would make me want to stay home, sit and sleep more. I mean, I couldn't do the things that I wanted, all because of the sinus cavities right here. Boy, but when I had surgery, then I started allergy shots, and you know, which helped to address the problem. Well, you know, now I function better. There was a man that went to the doctor one day, and he goes, oh, doctor, he said, everywhere I hurt, everywhere I touch, it hurts. It hurts so bad. The doctor says, he said, well, let's take a look at that. So they did some tests. He says, well, sir, I know the problem. He said, what is that? He said, your finger's broken. Everywhere he touched, it just hurt, right? Well, he had a broken finger. Hey, just a little member. If it hurts, the whole body hurts, right? But a healthy church that's walking in the Spirit, that knows the truth, is a church that's being built up in every part. We're all in it together as a team. Isn't that great? Hey, I think our church is a good team. And we have a great coach, if that's what you want to say. That's the gift that we get as a pastor, from our pastor. Well, if God's given us a gift, what should we be doing with the gift? That's a good question. Now, I don't say this, or I don't even do this lesson, just for the fact that pastor might hear it later, and, you know, I'm giving him a good nod. Although we do need more support at the camp. Well, I'm doing it because the Bible says we ought to take care of our pastor. Can I remind you in 2 Timothy 5:17, it says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. Double honor. Well, if God's given us a gift, I see, number one, if we're going to honor that gift, we should probably live worthy of our calling. In verse number 1 of chapter 4 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You know, God has called us as a church. He's called a pastor to help lead the church as an under-shepherd. So if we're going to honor the gifts that God gives us, then we ought to walk worthy of what he's called us to be. You know, that's the first step to honoring the gift. You know how frustrating it might could be for pastor to come up and maybe preach on a specific topic and open up the Word of God, and yet we leave the doors and we choose to do our own thing anyway instead of obeying the Word. You know, it's a frustration to anybody that preaches the Bible. So if we want to honor the gift, hey, let's live the messages that he preaches. I think it's pretty simple. What's another way that we could honor our gift? Well, we could be active in a part of our church. Could we not? If he's been called to be the pastor of this church, and to have a church, you have to have at least one or two more people where he's gathered in his name also. And I think we got plenty of that on a Sunday night crowd. Hey, we should be all in for church. You know, church exists more than Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. We have all kinds of activities. We have a Christian school. We have times where we go on visitation. The youth group does activities. The Pathfinders have a luncheon over there, the Kansas Buffet. The married couples class have get-togethers. They're called, what are they called? Huh? Connect groups, that's what it is. Hey, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of things to do. And when you get involved, you find out, man, it's a great life. Because to be involved in Christ's church is to be involved with his will for our lives. It's really simple. I also see that if we're going to honor the gift, we need to be a good steward of what God has given to us. You know, I think we probably do a fairly good job of, you know, paying our pastor and so forth. I don't foresee that being a problem with our church, but I think there's probably moments in, you know, maybe we ought to make sure we're attentive to the needs of our pastoral staff and those that serve here at the church and at the Christian school. I think we ought to care for our pastor. He should be worthy of double honor. I think also to steward our gifts, we should take moments to invest in him through special opportunities like this evening. So a pastor has decided, with the advice and counsel from the deacons, we are all behind him, that maybe this is a good time for him to take an extended vacation and have a good summer. You know, he's quite busy, and so we met with him on this, and the deacons thought this was a great idea, and the trustees, I believe, were involved in this, and which is to, hey, this summer, let's give pastor an extended time off so that he could have time with his family and have some time just spending time with the Lord, where he doesn't have the pressures of the ministry. You know, we're a church that's at the stage where we have a lot of people that can do a lot of things, such as being able to do a Sunday service when he's away in the mission field. Hey, that's a real blessing. There's not a lot of churches that can do that. So God's given us a lot of great people in here to be able to do things of this nature. So as pastors decided to do this with the consent of the deacons thought it would be a great idea that depending on what pastor wants to do, whether he wants to take a trip somewhere or if he just wants to stay here, that we would like to do a special offering just for him and his family. And whatever is given to him, they can use for whatever they want. They want to go on some vacation, great. If they want to just stay here and just enjoy time at home and, you know, just do some fun things around here, great. Whatever they want, that's up to them. And so that's the purpose of what we're going to do with this offering this evening. So if God is working on your heart based off what we talked about, hey, maybe just giving you a little something would be a great thing to show that you care and that you love your pastor. You know, listen, some of you, this is the only pastor you know. Now, I'm a guy that's out of our church that goes to a lot of churches. I guess you could say I'm like maybe the evangelist out of the church here. And I'm not here at our own services a lot, but I'll tell you, when I get to be here under the preaching of our pastor, man, it feels good. Because our pastor preaches the Bible, and he does it good. I don't even know if that's not the right word. He does it well. Very, very well. And if you are blessed by his sermons, you need to know that he puts a lot of time into preparing to preach all the times that he does. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to lose that. You know, I kind of like to keep him around for a while. Not that he's going anywhere. As far as I know, I think he's going to be here for quite a long time. He loves it here. But if you want to invest in something, you want it to go the extra mile, well, just tell him you love him. There's nothing wrong with that. Say, Pastor, thank you for preaching all those messages. That's changed my life. Some of you, your families are where they are today because of the preaching ministry here at Calvary Baptist Church. Hey, some of you in your own lives, you are where you are at today because a pastor spent time counseling you, helping your marriage out, helping your kids walk in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm telling you, we got a great pastor. So, do we have some ushers ready to go right now? Why don't we send some ushers up? Now, if you don't have anything to give this evening, then make sure on Wednesday you come out and you can see Lowell Scott, and anything you give to him will also be designated for the special love offering for pastor. And so maybe you weren't prepared for that tonight. So just think about that, and we'll ask God to bless us. So ushers, if you're ready, come on ahead.